I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark's Gospel and the fourth chapter. If it pleases the Lord, I want to finish this chapter this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, I want to pick up in verse 33, and I want to read down through verse 41. And I've titled what we're looking at, here's the title, Living as Citizens of God's Kingdom. Let me tell you where I get that. If you were to take time, and I hope you don't this morning, but if you were to take time to read through the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, you would see that it starts off with the parable of the sower. And then down around verse 13, he explains what that parable is about. And he'll talk about a man going to sow. And then you'll find a parable of the candle. And he raises that question, if men light a candle, do they put it under a bushel, under some type of basket or covering, or they put it on a candlestick? And then he makes statements through that chapter, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he says, a mustard seed. So all of these things, these illustrations, these parables are stories that did not actually happen, but he's taken them from life to tell us that in life these things at some point would have happened, and here's what we can glean from that. And so he's giving us these things to teach us about his kingdom. Now, why do you suppose he would spend the kind of time just in this gospel recording to put such emphasis on the kingdom? He does that because there is not another kingdom that's going to last. Everything else is going to pot. There is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. There is a narrow road that leads to life everlasting, and I quote Scripture, and few there be that find it. The masses of people in all of human history do not really care about God or the things of God. And they consider people like what's in this room right now, and those of you who are watching, to be about the biggest bunch of idiots they know anything about, because you are giving yourself to something you cannot see in hope of something that you cannot prove exists, thinking that perhaps it might be there when you die. Well, depending on how much faith you have in the one who shared all of this, has a lot to do with how you look at that. If you think Jesus could exaggerate, then this might or might not be true. If you think he's an all-out liar, I wouldn't believe any of this. But if you believe the one who told us these things is truly, as he claimed to be, the way, singular, the truth, and the life, there seems like there's other ways, but they're not. There seems like there's other truths, but he is truth. And whatever does not agree with him is not truth, it's falsehood. And there are various ways, according to what humanity says, to live life. But Jesus said, no, if you want to know what life is, look and follow me. And so he spends this time talking to us about the kingdom of God, for as I come to the conclusion of these closing verses of 33 through 41, he wants us to center in on living lives as citizens of the only kingdom that's going to amount to anything. The rest of it's passing away. And so he embarks with these words, if you will look at verse 33. And with many such parables, that's just as soon as he finished the mustard seed parable. With many such parables spake he the word unto them. And they were able, or as they were able, to hear it. Because he had said earlier, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. If you can hear this and understand it, you need to pay attention. And then he said these words, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And then when they were alone, he expounded. That means he would extrapolate or explain further all things to his disciples. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Now keep in mind what all he's been doing. And when the end of this day has come, he says, let's go over yonder to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, Jesus, even as he was there in the ship, just like he was. There was no pre-preparation. We took him right now with just like he was. And there were also with him other little ships, which means there's some other people out there in other little boats watching what's taking place. They're witnesses to this. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, folks, what are you reading is full of? Well, you know what it was full of, water. And he was in the hinder part or the rear part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he, that is Jesus, said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, that means greatly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So as I have mentioned, he has spent thus far teaching us about the kingdom. And he describes for us in these verses what it means to live like a citizen in the kingdom. Please catch hold of the context and do not divorce in your thinking what he just said from all that he has said previously regarding the Word of God and his kingdom. He's now saying this is how you relate to this kingdom. You've seen a lot of wonderful things. I've spent the day healing the people that all wanted their diseases delivered, and I've delivered them of disease. You've seen what's gone on today, and I have no doubt as they've come to the end of this day, just like the Bible says, when he came to Jacob's well, quote, he was weary with his day's journey. Now, folks, if the Son of God himself could be living as the ultimate example of what a child who's a citizen of the kingdom is supposed to live and how we're supposed to do what we do, if he got weary, why do you and I think we wouldn't get weary? If he faced difficulty, why do we think we wouldn't face difficulty? You see, folks, we have developed in the West over the last 50 years or so a mindset that kind of says, well, I'm a child of God. I love God. I give my money. I go to church. I pray. I do good to poor people. I do good to my neighbors. I don't... As a child of God, I'm not supposed to have problems because I'm serving God. I'm insulated from difficulty. And should difficulty come my way, something is horribly wrong. Storms, according to Western Christianity, storms are not supposed to happen to people who are citizens of God's kingdom. Well, folks, if the very Christ himself was in a storm, who in heaven's name are you and I to bellyache when we go through our next one? I think that probably in my heart and yours doesn't call for an amen, but probably calls for, because we are prone to do that. So the scripture that we've just read tells of a time that Jesus has given and given and given and given, and at the end of the journey, he says, let's go to the other side, and they take him just like he is. That tells me that this was not prearranged, and what we find happens is they said, let's just pass over to the other side, and so they took him immediately like he was. I want to point out three things in our text today that you can count as being true for a citizen of God's kingdom. It may not fit religious television. It may not fit my thoughts and yours, but it fits Scripture. Number one, God's people will face some unexpected storms. You'll find that in verses 33 through 39 that I just read. Can I just mention to you about storms? Because there's always somebody, more than likely a preacher, going to try to tell you why you're in the middle of your storm. The truth of it is, I don't know why you're going through a storm. I don't know why you have cancer. I don't know why your child or grandchild breaks your heart. I don't know why you have certain other health difficulties. I don't know why we have to go through these things that so beset us emotionally, spiritually, and physically. But I do know this, God's people will face some unexpected storms. Here's your pastor's thoughts. First of all, these storms could come because of disobedience. I didn't, listen carefully, I did not say all storms come because you're disobedient. I said they could come. I've talked to one or two people who captained a ship, and I've talked to numerous pilots, and without investigating this, here's what I've picked up on. The captain of the ship doesn't get in and say, let's go. The pilot charts a course. The pilot checks weather conditions. And we want to know, as we sail the ship or fly the plane, are we going directly into a storm? Now, I say this somewhat teasing. Beth and I came to the conclusion many years ago, as your pastor and wife, that all of them must not check it. We fly from Atlanta into Houston. It's just a dip down, don't even get off the plane, and we're heading on to a Southern Baptist Convention. And as we left the ground and got up into the air, I've been on every ride except the new ones that Six Flags offers. And I mean, it shook our eye teeth. And she reached and grabbed me, and we did not know, are we going to make it or not? And the question that came to us, did you deliberately go through the storm? Was somebody else helping you chart? Because I'm not sure how air traffic control works there. They may assign them. Of course, as far as I know, I don't know. But I do know this, without being a pilot or the captain of a ship, you wouldn't take off. I don't take off from my house on a road trip without finding out what's the weather going to be. Folks, in life, here's where you check the weather. And when you get off course, then you're going to get in a storm if you get off the course that God has assigned. Not all, but some storms come because of disobedience. I suggest to you that storms can come because of God's providence. Why in heaven's name would God lead me into a storm? Because he wants to teach me something and you something that will change us for the rest of our lives on this earth. Folks, you learn some things in a storm you don't learn anywhere else. And if God takes you through a storm, be it physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever, it will impact your life. Before I was ever born, my parents, about 2 a.m., were in that shack of a house, and through that area of northeast Georgia came a tornado, and with my dad with his hands over his head and a flashlight in his hand and mom lying beside of him, the house obliterated and 2x4s hit and knocked the light out of the flashlight, and they walked out of that awful storm unscathed. Like dynamite had blown it up. They didn't ask for that. They wasn't knowingly off course. But for some reason, providence sent a storm right to blow their house into smithereens. Providence sometimes does that. But Pastor, why? I don't know, and I don't have to know why. God makes no mistakes. And if you haven't heard this recently, it'll help you if you'll let it. Everything happens for a reason. And when we can't trace his hand, trust his heart. I'm bewildered. He's not. I don't know. He does. I can't. He can. All of my hope and trust must be in him. And sometimes we have storms because of providence. Storms can come because of satanic attack. Now listen very carefully. We who believe in warfare would like to say that everything that happens that we don't like is because of satanic attack. Sometimes, folks, things happen because God permits the enemy to do things, even to us, to correct us and show us how desperately we need him. Israel's enemy beat the dickens out of them on occasions, And God was displeased with what the enemy did, but God used it for good in Israel's life. How can that happen, Pastor? How can something so bad be used for good? I got one verse of that, and we know. Nobody seems to quote those three words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You ask anybody what is Romans 8:28, 90% of the time you're going to get this for an answer. All things work together for good for those that love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. That is not what the verse says. The verse says, and we know that all things work together for good. And when we don't know it and we don't apply it, then we think everything bad is satanic in nature and that it's just the devil after us. And I have suggested to just a handful of my friends, well, be careful if I wake up with a fever. I tell you, the devil's after me today. No, it could be that God's saving your life and you're not going to get in a car today and go to work because somebody was either coming in to kill you or going to run all over in the road and God is sparing you. That may not be a satanic attack. Be very careful with that. I do know this about storms. Storms can come very quickly. They get in a boat, folks, and they're headed the other side, and there is no storm, and before they can get there, the storm happens. And isn't that how most of us find ourselves in a storm? I wasn't planning to be here. I'm kind of laughing about it, and it may not be anything to be funny. But I shared with this church that Friday a week ago, my wife and I are out in the backyard going out our own business. Everything's fine. And I love to tell if I end up with a scratch or something, it's where Beth scratched me or did something. And so I just took three or four steps backwards. Beth said I did it kind of quickly. I don't know if my heel went into a divot or not. But this torn muscle in my right calf is getting in my way. And those who have had it and know about it and who are in that line of work say, relax and enjoy the ride. It probably is not going to be better tomorrow. It's kind of like a broke toe. Y'all remember what they do for a broke toe? Absolutely nothing but tape it to the one beside it. What does that mean? Patience, trust, prayer, and be mindful when you're going through it to be sweet to somebody else. Because sometimes, folks, every smile is not a true grin. It's a pain covered up because they don't want to say anything. Within moments, the sea is churning waves at this point because of a great wind, and the boat fills quickly with water. I will say this to you, storms can cause us to doubt. How do we know that? Well, they came and woke up Jesus. And obviously, if you've got the master of the sea and of all creation in your boat, what do you think you're about to inform him of? Did you really think he didn't know? You see, the question suggests when they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? Had he truly been asleep from the very start, they would have wakened him and said, Master, I know you've been asleep, but there's a storm brewing. They don't say that. They say, do you not care that we're perishing? As though maybe when he laid down, there was already trouble brewing out there. And they want to know, do you care anything about us? You know, folks, during a growing peril, Jesus, we know, certainly had gone to sleep. And it bothered them that you're asleep and we're over here. We can't figure out what you're doing. We know what we're doing. We're trying to save our lives. And these incidences are designed to illustrate what happens to you and me in the spiritual realm of our lives. Did you ever get to the place when in the midst of one of your storms, Lord, do you not care that I'm perishing? God, do you know what I'm going through? Now, on a Sunday morning, we're far too sophisticated to talk that way. But down in here, it's churning just like those winds. One other thing I'll tell you about storms, they give an opportunity for God's grace to be manifested. He just merely got up. If he said a word to them, we don't find it in Scripture. And the master of creation said to the winds, peace. And he said to the waves, be still. And the water is instantly glass. Do you folks in this room, and you can publicly answer this, do you believe this Jesus in this book could actually do just what the text says?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm afraid that I don't think, or what maybe I do think, and I don't know about you. I don't much think he can do that today. You say, Pastor, you do believe he can do it? Well, yeah, I believe he can, but I don't act like that sometimes. I'm too much like the disciples. God, where are you? My boat is churning. I don't think I can take any more. And Jesus says, if you'll let me, peace to the winds that blow in your life and to the water. Be still. You can't do that. That I'm sure of. And I'm even more sure I can't do that. But this Jesus has not changed. He can do that. So God's people will face some unexpected storms. Number two, God's people will sometimes be fearful, because in the first part of verse 40, he says to them, why are you so fearful? You see that? Folks, we live in fearful times. Does that come as a surprise to you? I'll just say it in passing. I don't know no more about it than you do. But without a doubt, regarding illness and pandemic, we've got more lies in America than we've ever had. We've got people in authoritative places holding PhDs saying right the opposite of what that bunch said day before yesterday. They're saying the opposite today. Leaves people like me and you not to know what to do. And, buddy, that causes unrest. Unless that's the only source of our rest. Folks, you do pretty good to just say, I ain't believing nobody but Jesus. I'm just going to ask him and use some common sense and have him kind of direct me. You'll be a lot happier. If you need to wear a mask, God bless you, put one on. If I was taking some of these cancer treatments, I'd have on one today. Flu rages. But, you know, there's a difference in folks using some common sense and trying to get everybody to tell everybody, you're going to be dead by next week. Folks, they don't know that. And so we got terrorism, we got pandemics, we got political unrest. We've got crazier politics going on than we've ever had. We've got what they're telling our economic crisis right now, and they are saying that right around the corner. I said they are saying, I didn't say this. They're saying that you got a food shortage coming your way soon. Fearful times. But do you find it kind of a strange question if you look back at verse 40? Why are you so fearful? Is it a strange question to you that he's asking these people, why are you fearful, when in fact they're about to lose their life? What do you suppose they're fearful of? I think they're fearful of two basic things. I think they're fearful that the boat's going to sink. I would be. We were one night on a ship, and as God would have it, we were in the middle part of the boat. It was a large boat. I mean, one of the cruises. And they told us that night, Beth, didn't they say 30-foot seas? And we could see, they had a camera on the front of the ship, so we can see on our screen in our room that the ship is doing this way. But folks, being in the middle of the ship is less movement than anywhere. And they told us on this particular cruise, one of Dr. Stanley's cruises, that we got people getting sick that ain't never been sick before. Well, man, we're just cooling it. It's not that rough where we are. And so somebody's talking about, boy, I hope this thing doesn't turn over. I hope this thing, this, that, and the other. I said, I came out with this. I said, you hope it makes it. I hope it makes it. I can't swim. And one person who understood the humor of that statement fell over laughing and said, Brother Wayne, if there's an Olympic swimmer, he's not going to make it in this. If this boat goes down, nobody going to make it in 30-foot waves. We're all sunk. So they're afraid the boat's going to sink. But they're afraid of something else, I believe. I think they're afraid that this storm is never going to end. Folks, is that not sometimes my fear as well as yours? This is never going to end. I got some good news for you. I didn't read this in anybody's book other than the fact I've read it all my life in this book. No storm lasts forever except in hell. That storm never ends. And whatever storm you're in, and this congregation represents three groups of people, you're either in one right now, you've just come out of one, or you're about to head into one and don't even know it. And no storm is forever except the storm that's in hell. The third and final thing I want to mention to you is that God's people can, I didn't say would, I said can, appear at times to be faithless. Now, we, if we're God's people, we've put our faith in Christ. Can I have an amen there? We've confessed Him as our Lord. We've repented of our sin. So we call ourselves, appropriately so, people of faith. Amen? Amen. That's what we've done. That's who we are. That's our position. We have put faith in Him. But when the storms come and the issues of life we face, I can appear to be very faithless, just like these in this passage. Because we find in that 40, latter part of verse 40, how is it that you have no faith? Jesus is putting His finger on the real issue with all of God's kingdom children, which is you and me. Why are you looking back at it again? How is it that you have no faith? Do you know what faithlessness is? It's either a sense of forgetting to trust God or refusing to trust God. Because faith is taking God at His word, and you either forget to take Him at His word or you just refuse to take Him at His word. God, I know You said this, but I don't care that You said it. I'm not going to do it. I don't believe it. Most of the people I've known have not been like that. I think what happens, like these in the boat, man, you just think about it. The wind's about to blow them out of the boat. The boat's filling up with water. And in that moment, folks, are you listening to me? The issues of life get right up here. All of you are in this room. But when this gets up here, I see one or two over here, and I see one or two over here. And all of a sudden, what I thought was out there is not there, because all of a sudden, something's in my face. And when the winds get to blowing and the water gets to pouring over the sides, we forget to trust God in the heat of the moment. You know, folks, life, can you hear me? And I want young people to hear this especially. Life has various phases, somewhat like the seasons of the year. You can be in the springtime of your life. You can be in the summertime of your life. You can be in the fall of your life. You can be in the dead winter of your life. One thing about it, I don't care what phase you're in, every phase changes. Nothing stays as it is. Nothing. It's not supposed to. But what's the one thing Brother Wayne likes, and you do too, particularly, folks, if we are conservatives, we like to conserve. We like for things to stay as they are. Trusting God is the answer to faith. And that's why Jesus said to him, why are you so fearful? How come you are so faithless? Let me remind you of something. You know, Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because thou trustest in him. If you go ahead and trust him in the midst of the storm, he will keep that person in peace. You also know that Matthew recorded, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will He not even much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Faith, what kind of faith, Pastor? Faith in the goodness and care of God in our lives. Do you really think that Jesus is going to feed you to the wolves? No. Should He feed Brother Wayne to the wolves? Yes, because I'm not deserving of His love, but He's not going to feed you to the wolves. Faith that God loves us and can work in the midst of the greatest storm we're in. If you say that storm is satanic, you might be correct. And Jesus might agree with you, but he'd say, look to me, keep faith in me, don't forget to trust me, and I'll see you through this. I'll deal with your enemies, but you just stay faithful to me and everything's going to work out for you, ultimately. You say, but Pastor, I've got some scars. I don't have a one. Life has been nothing but a bed of roses. Did you know with every bed of roses comes some thorns? Can I help you folks with your scars? You know, that became a real thing some years ago. I'm scarred. Rejoice in your scars. Scars are a sign of healing. There's a difference in a scar and a wound. Praise God, I've got scars from falling off a bicycle right now on my body. But I don't have any wounds. Why? They've healed. And God will take you through that storm, and he will bring some healing to you. And the last sentence of verse 41, and I'm finished. Look at it. They feared exceedingly, and here's what they said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? Folks, what verse 41 says, the question of every storm is, who do you think's in control? I know who wants to be in control. You looking at him. And I don't want to say this as a judgment call, but I have a notion that's probably true out there time or two. Don't we like to be in control? I'll put a stop to that. And I imagine if it's something you can help people and can put a stop to, you ought to. But folks, you're going to reach a time when you can't put a stop to it. And you're going to be at God's mercy. And it sure is good when you've learned. I heard my Sunday school teacher say this morning that something happened, and this is not a quote but a near quote, that his life took on different meaning when he learned something about the providence of God. Providence of God doesn't mean that I'm going to get everything I want it just the way I want it when I want it. Providence means when life is going good, I praise him. When things happen that I wasn't expecting to happen and I end up in an emergency room or somewhere else in a doctor's office getting, like a friend of mine many years ago, he's building on Brother John to his house, doing a little addition out there, and he's running that circular saw, and he looks down and he said, where'd that finger come from? And he looked and he had cut his finger completely off with the circular saw. Folks, that'll send you to a doctor's office you wasn't planning to go to. He said, well, you think he did? Picked up his finger and walked. That's what he did, and he got in a truck. You've heard of picking up your bed and walking. He picked up his finger and walked. So the question is, who do you think's in charge? And they said, what manner of man is this? Let me ask you a question. You can answer this, and I'll lead us in prayer. If you and I go on record that he can control the winds and the waves, if that's true, I think you went on record a while ago, you think he can. You reckon he can control what goes on in Brother Wayne's life? Can he? Amen. Can he control what goes on in yours? Yes. Let's pray. Father, we are kingdom children, but just like these disciples, we come off at times so faithless. And Lord, today we apologize afresh. I do. Lord, in the midst of the frustration, we trust everything and think everything except pause to look to you and ask you, would you do in this what we can't? Then, Lord, if it's typical, we'll go along maybe a few weeks or a few months, maybe even a year or so, and then all of a sudden, without intending to, it's like we reverted back to the faithless days and found ourselves in something that we remember way back. We used to act this way, but we hadn't been like this in a long time. Lord, what we're asking for today as we surrender to you is change our hearts, oh God. If you can control the winds and waves, you not only can control the storms in my life, you can control my stubborn will, and it could just be that the storm that you send me through next is to control my stubborn will by your Spirit. One day, Lord, we're going to be in your presence. We'll be in glorified bodies. And as we continue the journey to being face to face with you, you're preparing us for that moment. So help us today to be constantly being conformed into your image and likeness as we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.